Rewind is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wiseye.org/donate or text WISEYE to 44321. This program is brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This week on Rewind, your week in review, the leaked U.S. Supreme Court opinion that sent shockwaves across the nation. We have you covered on what overturning Roe v. Wade would mean for Wisconsinites and the messy legal battles that could follow. Plus, after facing pressure from the grassroots, the Republican Party of Wisconsin will consider a no-endorsement option at their upcoming state convention. And Governor Tony Evers hits the airwaves with his first campaign ad of the season. All this and more on Rewind, your week in review for May.
Hi, I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
J.R. Ross, we have to start with the biggest story across the nation. And of course, a lot of people are talking about here in Wisconsin after the U.S. Supreme Court leaked draft opinion came out suggesting that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. Now, of course, that is just a draft opinion, but it definitely sent shockwaves across the nation. So what does that mean here in Wisconsin? So if Roe v. Wade were to be overturned, an 1849 state law would go into effect banning all abortions unless a mother's life is at risk. Now, abortions would become a felony. It would be punishable up to 6 years in prison and could face a $10,000 fine. Of course, now a lot of people are looking at how is this going to impact the campaign trail. A lot of people are going to be talking about these issues. I talked to a UW political science professor, David Cannon, who kind of talked about he believes this is going to really engage a lot of younger voters, women voters, suburban moms, which are very important here in Wisconsin. So let's just take a listen to what he thinks how this will impact elections.
I think we'll see turnout higher than it otherwise would have been. And probably among that, you know, key demographic of suburban mothers, but the women more generally. I bet we'll see more of a gender gap now in the midterms than we would have seen had Roe v. Wade, you know, not been overturned. It's the group that's disadvantaged that often will be more motivated to act politically. And so here, I think the Democrats probably are going to gain from more people, you know, coming to vote that otherwise may have stayed on the sidelines.
So we know the abortion ban, abortion issue overall is going to be really important for candidates. They're going to be talking about it on the campaign trail. But I think the real question here, JR, is it still going to be relevant come November?
Yeah. Well, immediately after the decision or the leaked decision kind of came out, there's talk about how this scrambled everything. I'm not sure it does. And this is why. One, what's the closing argument going to be in October from Tony Evers, Josh Call, the GOP nominee for governor? Will it be abortion or will it be inflation, gas prices, schools? That's what I don't know for sure. A couple things to watch. I think the primaries, yes, right now we have an impact. Yeah. Sarah Galuski, immediately up a six-figure TV buy talking about abortion rights. She's the only viable female candidate in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate. Of course she's going to jump on this issue. She wants to try and carve out a niche for herself. Well thought out plan to kind of get on that issue while it's hot. I just don't know, though, come October, what's going to be going on. Now, if you look at like a might kind of a on-the-ground level, state Senate races, 5th Senate District. It is a seat. Dale Koyanga is not going to run there anymore, Republican. The area's been trending Democratic. Democrats have done a really good job maximizing their turnout with college-educated suburban women. Can they do any better? Maybe. If you're a college-educated suburban woman who used to vote Republican because of crime or taxes, but Donald Trump drove you away, maybe what you've been seeing with crime is kind of tempting you to go back toward Republicans. But does this issue make you go, whoa, I'm not ready for that? We don't know. But in that Senate district, trending Democratic, heavily suburban, maybe it plays well there. Up in the Fox Valley, though, you have an open Senate district, the 19th, Roger Ross seat, Republican from Appleton. The Fox Valley is heavily Catholic. I don't know your closing argument for Democrats is going to be about abortion. Same time for Republicans. How do you talk about abortion come October, right? because if you're talking about no exceptions, that's not popular. And that's the thing about like abortion polling. If you ask people who want to overturn Roe v. Wade, they mostly say no. But if you ask them, like, do you support a ban after 20 weeks? That's pretty popular. 15 weeks, fairly popular. So, but not having any exceptions for rape, incest, life of the mother, those are not popular at all. So how do you talk the nuance of abortion? And that's why I'm wondering how much is going to break through for people when it comes, push comes to shove, come late October, early November.
And talking about those exceptions, no exceptions, mm-hmm. is an important issue because all four candidates running on the Republican side for governor don't want any exceptions. Let's pull up this next slide. It's kind of just general reaction for everyone in the governor's race. Of course, all the Republicans were celebrating this mm-hmm. news, praising it, but all of them, Tim Michaels, Kevin Nicholson, Rebecca Clayfish, Tim Rantham, all of them don't want any exceptions. And like you said, that could play a big role how they talk about it on the campaign roll because it's not as popular. Governor Tony Evers, of course, has been tweeting and been talking about this issue all week. And then I think also we got to talk about the Attorney General's race, JR, mm-hmm. because Attorney General Josh Call right now is basically saying, hey, I'm not going to enforce this 1849 law. I am not going to give my department's resources to prosecute individuals if they do perform abortions. But meanwhile, Eric Toney, the Republican, and Adam Jarko. Adam Jarko didn't actually give me a really clear answer, but they were basically criticizing Call mm-hmm. For basically already saying that I'm not going to pursue any resources in my offices to do this. Eric Toney, though, said, well, hey, if I'm elected, I'm ready to give anything that these prosecutors need. They didn't really elaborate on what enforcement looks like because I think we just are really unclear on where this law is going to go, and we know it's going to turn into a very messy legal battle, whatever ends up happening.
Planned Parenthood has said if the Roe v. Wade decision is overturned, they will cease providing abortions in Wisconsin. So may be a moot point about enforcement if that happens. With the law, the things you have to watch are, would it withstand a state court challenge, right? So this is an 1849 statute. As I often say, I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to try and venture a guess about what would happen if it was challenged in state court, but that could be an issue. Oh, by the way, it may not be just the Supreme Court ruling on Roe v. Wade, but what happens after it? When's that decision come out? Is that June? July, August, or October, like that could kind of roil things more. And are there other things that kind of fall into place? Because, for example, we're already seeing states proposing, I think Louisiana had a bill come out of committee that critics say would impact IUDs and birth control. So, all right, what's going on there? Is that going to see stuff like that filter through other states? Does that make the issue more urgent, right? What about things like the Supreme Court decision that legalized gay marriage? If you read the Alito draft opinion, he takes pains to say this is only about abortion. But if your rationale on this decision, people have argued, is it's not in the Constitution, the right to privacy is in the Constitution. That was an interpretation of several statutes or amendments that then allowed overturned a law banning the sale of birth control to unmarried couples, I believe, out east. Okay, what about that? What about the gay marriage ruling, which also, you know, interpretation of various amendments to the Constitution? What happens there? That's what I'm talking about. I don't have a good handle on like what's going to be the impact in the fall because I don't know these wild cards that could come into play.
It is going to have so many ripple effects, tongue-tied there. So we just really don't know what can happen. It's also important to stress that Republican lawmakers have passed multiple anti-abortion bills that Governor Evers vetoed last year. I believe it was 9 in total. So if Wisconsin were to elect a Republican governor, I mean, you can probably just imagine it's very likely state lawmakers are going to look to restrict access to birth control, the Plan Bs. I mean, who knows what they might want to do next. But I think in a sense, they're going to want to try to tighten abortion laws and maybe look even as extreme as the Texas abortion ban. But we just don't know what could happen.
Because you think about the Wisconsin statute from 1849, it's pretty airtight, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's like no abortions, life of the mother,
right.
Period. But now we're talking about technology where we have access to the morning after pill, as some people call it, or chemical abortions, kind of as a more medical term for it. Those are becoming more popular. Are you talking about restricting access to that being shipped into Wisconsin? Like that's a possible legal front they have to watch. Like I don't know what the next step is going to be.
Right. Also want to just kind of put into perspective about abortion rates here in Wisconsin, we're going to pull up this chart from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, DHS. As you can see, by each decade, I mean, the number of abortions being performed here in Wisconsin has dramatically declined. And, you know, that could be a lot of factors. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it more people taking Plan B like we just talked about? Those aren't reported to the state. Is it more people socially accepting birth control? And when they have those conversations with their doctors, it could be a combination of things, but it really does give you kind of a good sense of how drastically these procedures have changed over the years.
And within those numbers, actually, 2020 was the first year of a drop after a three-year rise number of abortions. I also noticed in those numbers that the percentage of reform by a chemical abortion has been climbing steadily. Mm-hmm. It's now, I think, 39% on 2020. That was up from like in the teens just a few years before. Again, shows you the changing nature of abortion in Wisconsin and nationally as that options become more available, which also begs the question, if Roe v. Wade's overturned, will that be the next front, legal front in Wisconsin legislatively where Republicans would try to seek to restrict access to that? Mm-hmm. We saw a bill that was vetoed about that topic. So there's an example of, yes, there's some talk about whether they go that route when it comes to abortion.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jared, let's move on to another big topic this week about another shakeup, I guess, in the state Republican Party's convention that's coming up on May 20th. Now, there was a committee that voted to allow a no-endorsement option for delegates at their upcoming convention, like I said, but they will also now allow statewide candidates who failed to meet viability thresholds, those are fundraising thresholds, that they established, that they now will kind of have a second option to become eligible for the party's endorsement at this month and then in a few weeks. So this was a lot of grassroots talking about mm-hmm. this. They thought it was unfair that, you know, hey, if I didn't reach the certain amount of thresholds, I still want to be at least considered. I went through the process. I still want to have my time on the floor to mm-hmm. talk to the party, basically. So this was, after facing pressure, they're going to make some changes.
So the Republican Party of Wisconsin has a constitution. It requires an endorsement vote at convention in even-numbered years. The thing about the no endorsement is, one, you have to get support from 60% delegates to get the endorsement. So it's not a guarantee they're going to back anybody. 2012 U.S. Senate race, for example, nobody got the 60% mark, therefore there's no endorsement. The endorsement brings with it access to the party's infrastructure, fundraising apparatus. So like both political parties use the August primary as a dry run for November. When the Republican Party of Wisconsin does its calls to people saying, hey, turn out in August, you know, we're reaching out to you, make sure you're engaged, they would also say, oh, and by the way, we endorse candidate X in this race, right? Pretty safe bet Ron Johnson, for example, get the endorsement in the Senate race, right? So let's say go vote for Ron Johnson. That's a boost for anybody. But you have to hit that 6% threshold. Now, with no endorsement, which will be in the first ballot, you have the option of just saying, we're not going to endorse anybody right away. It'll be an interesting test in a couple of ways. One, Rebecca Clayfish has been working toward this for a long time.
She's wanted this, yes. Now, she's put in the work for it, too, being on the campaign trail, one of the longest.
Campaigns will always try and downplay expectations. So the Clayfish campaign, I'm sure, will tell us all, we don't expect the endorsement, we're not counting on it, et cetera, et cetera, because you want to downplay expectations. But she's been there working the longest, the hardest to do all the events. It's going to be, if she doesn't get it, it'd be a little bit of a blow for her, right? I don't know how big a one, but still a blow not to get it. So there's that whole thing. So now this process, like you said, you had to reach these financial thresholds of fundraising. It was $100,000 from 1,000 donors for like Senate or governor, stuff like that. If you went through the endorsement process and didn't meet those viability standards, you can still have, and the way it works is you have to have the delegates from your home county have a majority of them on the floor. They nominate you to be in the endorsement process. You have to have two other counties from different congressional districts, right? So the Lancaster mayor, Varnum, he's from the 3rd congressional district. It'd have to be somebody from the 2nd and the 1st, or, you know, some other combination, not just his home county, to nominate him floor. He went through the endorsement process. He fell short of the financial requirements. He could get on the floor then to talk. And then we see what's going to happen, because you go through this process where you have a maximum of 3 votes per race. What happens is anybody who is in last place is dropped from this next ballot, and anybody below 20% support is dropped. 3 votes maximum. Either you get to a 60% threshold for no endorsement, or for the candidates or fail on anything, and it's a deadlock and we go away. Back in 2012 again, we went through multiple rounds of balloting.
Yeah.
Jeff Fitzgerald won the endorsement vote, but was short of 60%. So there's no endorsement in that race. What I'm getting at is going to be a long day because you're in a first in debate whether you even do this because the committee gave preliminary approval, but the delegates have to prove it on the floor. So
this, in a sense, it's not a done deal yet. They're still going to be voting on Friday morning, I believe I was told by the party. So that will be that's what they want to get started with right away.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to take a very long time, like you said, for them to get through that.
We are way in the weeds.
Yes.
I appreciate you reporting this too, by the way. I like
yes.
your stories.
Yeah.
But the weeds are important because of what it means to these candidates, because it could be a huge boost when you're talking a four-person race for governor, 9 for lieutenant governor. If you could get the endorsement, you would have it would give you a good boost leg up for the August 9th primary.
And I think it's important to note there are still a lot of people out there that really still believe in this endorsement process
mm-hmm.
because candidates, it shows that candidates can raise funds. They have the best shot at winning in the midterms and going through November. But a lot of people still don't agree with that
yes.
argument. So maybe times are changing. So we'll see what happens. It's May 20th that we'll kick off in Middleton. Then also a lot of campaign ads are going to start flooding people's TVs if you haven't seen them
yeah.
already. I know I've seen quite a few already. And Governor Evers hit the airwaves for the first time to launch kind of his reelection campaign ad. It wasn't a negative ad, but he's going to be spending about $3.5 million on the specific ad that kind of talks about him wanting to work across the aisle. Look what I did. I signed this Republican tax cut, worked with Republicans. He kind of got some flack for that. I think it was you mm-hmm. who asked him at his campaign event on Monday in DeForest saying, hey, you say you want to work with Republicans. When's the last time you talked to them? And since we kind of know that he doesn't have the best relationship with GOP leaders, they don't talk at all or haven't in a very long time. So here is Governor Evers kind of responding to some of that criticism.
I talk to Republicans all the time. Just because I haven't spoke to Robin Voss and Senator Lemieux doesn't mean that I don't talk to Republicans. I signed a bunch of bills within the last couple of weeks. The Republicans were there. They were part of it. And our staff works with folks on the other side all the time. The idea that somehow because they don't have the same access to the governor's office as they did with Scott Walker. Frankly, it doesn't surprise me a lot. But at the end of the day, I will continue to do that. I sign bipartisan bills, and we'll keep working. I've never taken anything for granted on this race, whether there's one opponent or 15 opponents. That doesn't make any difference to me. I think we have a good story to tell, and we're going to tell it. And this wasn't a response to ads or money on the other side. I've had good financial support from local folks in the state of Wisconsin, and we feel an obligation to tell the story. Simple as that.
So this kind of just kicks off
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of spending that's going to happen. We did have on the slide that the Democratic Governors Association announced it's going to spend $21 million helping Evers. And it comes after the Republican Governors Association announced it's going to plan to spend $6.2 million this fall. So kind of a big difference in money, but we know kind of Democrats have been really, even the state party too, has been outpacing Republicans
yeah.
for the past few years.
Remember, these are just the opening bids.
Yes.
So they are reservations, so there's no guarantee they'll actually follow through with it, but they've laid down the reservation. They're getting a better rate by doing it early. If you're a dork about these things like I am, you know that earlier you get it in, better rate you get, because once things get crowded in the fall, and they're going to get crowded, it gets more expensive. Couple things that I'm watching here. One, will there be any time for any other ads starting like mid-October in Wisconsin? You may not see any car commercials for a while.
Right.
It's going to be crowded. How do you break through? Again, because I'm a dork, Evers is going on the air almost exact same time Scott Walker did in 2018, first week of May. So I remember the old days when like being on the air in June and July was like way early in a governor's
yeah.
race. This
right.
is now like not uncommon. Evers did have another ad that ran. Actually, remember they tried to recall him, like this really not well-organized recall effort?
Yes.
There was an ad that ran. This is the first real re-election ad. But I'm curious to see like what the message is going to be going forward. You're seeing it, though. Talking about there's too much division, cut your taxes, I'm doing things, we're back on our feet, positive, uplifting message. But what I'm going to predict is that once you have a GOP nominee, they will open the floodgates on him or her
right.
about what what a bad person that person is. That Evers is building his positive name on you right now to remind people who he is, what he's done, get that goodwill up before you go negative. It's smart politics.
And let's see how the abortion debate plays out, too. Will Governor Evers be taking advantage of that, or will he wait to see who his opponent is? Because I'm sure that will be one thing that he will be attacking his opponents for, and vice versa. All right, and we're going to recap real quick the Wisconsin Professional Police Association poll. This comes out every year. They had their 10th annual. What I covered was kind of some of the big takeaways that I found, but also Jim Palmer, the executive director, was a little surprised by is the growing support for putting school resource officers in schools. And they believe, a majority believe, 63%, that they increase school safety. And why is this important? Well, because Madison and Milwaukee Public Schools voted in June of 2020 to get rid of what's called SROs. They're basically just police officers. If anything happens, they're there to step in if needed. And that happened in June of 2020 when there was, you know, in wake of the George Floyd protests and just a lot of racial injustice activism going around. And that's what really spurred this. But now we're kind of seeing a lot of people think they actually can make a difference. Some other takeaways, of course, after the same protests of that summer of 2020, of course, views on local police departments kind of declined. We're seeing that go back up. But let's take a listen to Jim Palmer first real quick, kind of just talking about the school resources officers issue and the safety.
We were actually surprised to learn that a majority of both white and non-white respondents believe that school resource officers make the school safer. And believe that they're less likely to experience a school shooting in their school if an SRO is present. That's not something we would have thought going in, given some of the rhetoric we've seen at the local level.
Just one other thing I want to highlight in the poll, 91% agree having well-trained police officers makes communities safer, and we know the whole crime issue, I want my community safe, is going to be a big issue on the campaign trail, and candidates are already talking about it. Some have revealed some of their, you know, tough-on-crime packages. Rebecca Clayfish, for example, wants to hire 100 more police officers, etc. So definitely an important issue for elections going forward. And JR, we also had some news on the UW Regent front. Governor Evers appointed three new ones. Let's just pull the slide up and I'll let you take it away on this one.
So a couple things to note. This means that Governor Evers now has 11 of the 18 members of the board are his appointments. There are five remaining from Scott Walker. One is DPI Superintendent Jill Underley, who is seen as being kind of sympathetic toward the Evers kind of point of view. So it is an Evers-dominated board now. Dana Walks, for example, former Democratic state lawmaker, also happened to be run for governor in 2018, briefly before dropping out. Noteworthy there. I did call Mike Grebe and Drew Peterson, the two Walker appointees who are being replaced. They said they are stepping down and making way for their replacements. That's noteworthy because we've seen other boards where Walker appointees aren't walking away because under state law right now, unless the Supreme Court reverses it, if you are appointed to a board, you can remain there even if your term expires until your successor is confirmed by the state Senate. That's noteworthy because of all of Evers' appointees, we have two, count them two, who have been confirmed so far by the state Senate. That is Edwin Manning Deeds, who was the president until June, and Karen Walsh, who's a vice president, who's going to run for president of the Board of Regents after Manning Deeds' term is over. They're the only ones. Why that's important is if there is a governor, Clayfish, Nicholson, Michaels, Rantham, in January of 23, they could walk in the door and rescind every one of the appointees to the Board of Regents other than Walsh and Manny Deeds the first day in office.
Wow, yeah.
So you're talking the chance to reshape an entire board. Again, with the DNR board, same thing. There are a couple. There's Prane, who was chair of the board. He's refused to step aside. That's kept that board a majority Walker appointees, even though we are in year three and a half of Tony Evers being governor. The DATCAP board. We've seen people not step down because they don't want to allow that Evers appointee to come in and potentially change the direction of the board. So it's, we've seen this happen before. Go back to 20 years ago, Tommy Thompson and Scott McCallum, their final appointees, like the Board of Regents, Chuck Koala, the then majority leader of the state Senate, Democrat, refused to confirm those. Jim Doyle took office and overturned them. What's different here is the sheer number of people who aren't getting confirmed. It shows you the Capitol doesn't function the way it's supposed to anymore. And the question becomes for Republicans, because let's face it, they're not going to lose the state Senate in November. I mean, it would have to be a complete catastrophe for them, which is not going to happen because it's actually looking like a bad year for Democrats. But with the seats, the map, the way it's drawn, they are in firm control. If you're a Republican, how long do you want to keep this up, right? Can you do it indefinitely?
I was just going to say, how long can that go on? Yeah.
Well, the state Supreme Court heard oral arguments from a lawsuit from Josh Call seeking to remove Prehn from the DNR board. It's one question that came up. What's too long? How long could this go? Let's theorize this for a second, right? Prehn is the one holding up right now from becoming a flip to Evers appointees. Could he serve for another 4.5 years?
Right.
Possibly. Yeah. And that's, again, it shows you the dysfunction of government right now where we don't have things operating the way they normally should. Republicans, though, are getting pressure from like WMC, Wisconsin Manufactured Commerce, saying we don't want Prehn to leave because we don't trust the Evers' direction he wants to go with the DNR and policy on PFAS and environmental regulations. They want Prehn to stay as a safeguard against what they say, a check against what they say is an overreach by the Evers administration.
All right. Well, that will do it this week. We had a lot to cover, and we did it in fairly good time, JR.
No stock picks. We didn't talk about Tim Michaels and his residency questions.
Oh, let's actually bring
Ron Johnson, his interesting comments.
Yeah.
It was a busy week again.
It was a busy week, so we got to most of it.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us this week. I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm JR Ross.
And happy Mother's Day to all those mothers out there.
This program is brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.